Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. Welcome to this Wednesday's message. Today, Bishop Dag will teach you what will happen when the seed of the Word of God is sown in a person's life. Although the Word of God initially may look small on the surface, from today's teaching you will discover it is in fact very effective and has life-changing power to save people from their sins. Today's message will detail what God expects when He sends us out as Christians to share the gospel and the effect the Word will have. Be blessed by today's message.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege we have to come to you this evening. Lead us, Holy Spirit, into all truth. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be here? So am I. Right. Today I want to share with you on a message on salvation. And I'm going to share with you what I call the parable of the sower. And I'm reading from Matthew chapter 13. Verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was dried up, they were scorched, because they had no root, and they withered away. And some fell among thorns. Amen. And the thorns sprang up and choked them, and others fell into good ground, and they brought forth fruit, some a hundredfold. Amen. Luke chapter 8 verse 11 says, Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the first thing about salvation in this parable is that the small, powerful seed is the Word of God. Amen. The small, powerful thing that can save your life is the Word of God. Now, most of the time, the Word of God is seen to be something not so powerful. Amen. And that is why one of the favorite questions of journalists and of secularly thinking people is to a church or to a pastor, what are you doing for the society? What are you doing for the community? When I was in Tamale, I had a small press conference, and there were journalists from all over asking me questions. But one of the questions that they kept asking, you know, all the people out there, they said, all the people, you know, there are thousands of people who cannot buy themselves 3 square meals a day. What are you doing for them? That's what they asked. What are you doing for them? What are you doing for those people? They said, a lot of poor people out there, what are you doing for them? All right? Do you understand my question? This is the common line of thinking of secularly minded people. And the answer to that question is twofold. The first answer is what they can understand, like we provided some medical care and so on. But the real answer to that question is, we are not here to provide water, sanitation, health, medical care. No. We are here to do something far greater than providing medical care or food for people. In fact, actually, one of the journalists said, Jesus preached and he changed, he multiplied the bread and he fed 5,000. So, what are we doing, you get it, to feed the thousands like Jesus? And again, what I'm saying is that our duty is not to go around feeding the world. It is not our work. No matter if you live 1,000 years, the work of a church will never change. The work of God is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus and the cross of Christ. That's why Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So, I try to explain to this gentleman that just as I wouldn't expect the minister for roads and highways to come and have a crusade in Tamale, but rather I will expect him to make the road, which he has not made, which he has not made. I expect him, I would not also like to leave my job the way they have left their jobs and are not doing their jobs. Do you get it? I would not expect the minister in charge of water. What do we call that minister? Minister of what? Is there a real minister for just water? Natural resources? Huh? Works and housing? Who are they housing? Who are they housing? Who are they housing? Have they housed you? Has anybody housed you? See me after church if you have been housed. The minister of works and housing. The minister for... And I would not expect the president, the minister in charge of electricity, to tell me that he's taking 100,000 Ghana cedis to make a crusade. I don't expect that of him. And I will not expect them to ask me why I will not take the church's money, which is for preaching, to go and make water for somebody or to make food. Now, the Minister of Agriculture has also got his duty to provide us with food sufficiency. Is there something like a Minister of Agriculture? Yeah, what is he doing? And I don't expect him to take the money that he will use to buy fertilizer and tractors and so on to come and make a crusade. Why do you expect me to take the crusade money to go and buy fertilizer and to buy bananas for people and plantains? I cannot use my crusade money to buy a banana and plantain for anybody. You see, we are confusing issues. But you see, when you are not spiritual, and when you are not sure of yourself, you feel that you are not doing something. You have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this, so that they will really see that, you know, yeah, you are a good church and a good ministry, and that you are really helping people. You are joking. Agro enisu, is that how they say it? There is a joke on your face. Agro. grow away niso. Is that how they say it? On your eyes. There is a game in your eyes. Agro. Is it not agro? There is a game in your eyes. A joke is in your eyes. You are joking. Now, the seed is very small, but many small things are very powerful. Some years ago, there was a disease called the bubonic plague. It was one of the turning points of the history of this world. It killed over 20 million people then. And during that season, our people died. If you came in contact with rats, with people who had this disease, you just get it. And people just died. Towns were wiped out. Now, it was during that era that the concept of biological warfare was introduced. During the plague, one time they were having a war, and one of the generals came up with an idea. You know, they had this thing like a catapult. They used to throw bombs of fire, stones into the city, which was surrounded by the wall. So one of the generals had an idea, said that his soldiers, people who have died of the plague, he decided to put one of them onto the as the bullet. He decided to put one of them as a bullet and then catapult them, the dead man, into the town. I tell you, so they were catapulting dead bodies and parts of the body into the city. And they just waited. The people themselves opened the gate and came out. Because the sickness spread. Eesh. Now, this sickness, which wiped out, I think, almost the whole of London everywhere, can be cured with a small drug. Augmentin, ampicillin, amoxicillin, penny, small one like this. You can just go to it like that, fearlessly. Yes, sir. You hold the dead, and just you hold it. The thing which has killed 20 million people. So you must respect small things. Amen. The fact that it looks small does not mean that it's not powerful to kill and to wipe out enemies. So the word of God, although it looks pure, small, is very powerful. You look at your life. What could change you? Somebody like you. Your mother couldn't change you. Your father couldn't change you. Huh? Police couldn't change you. Being suspended from school couldn't change you. Being sacked from your school couldn't change you. Pregnancy couldn't change you. Abortion couldn't change you. Crisis couldn't change you. But when that thing with they say, what are you coming to do here? Are you not doing something to help the people? That thing which they say is nothing. When that small, the Bible says, but the seed is the word. When that thing came into your life, somebody like you, see how you are sitting calmly. You are sitting calmly in church as if you can't do anything bad. Some of you, if we play your videos on the screen, they will say that Satan himself has come to the church. But the seed, which is very small, has changed a person. So the seed is the word of God. And the word of God, although looking like nothing, has the power to save people from their sins. And so the word of God must be preached. We must not substitute the word of God with ideas, philosophy, economics, ideas, all kinds of things. The word of God is the word of God. Hallelujah. Number two, the seed or the word of God which is being preached is a light which will save people's lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. Psalm 119 verse 105. Through this light, you can be saved from death. When the lights go off, all sorts of things can happen because you cannot see. And when you cannot see, you never know what you are about to step on. That is why one of the professions I respect most of all in Ghana is the profession of a hunter. Hunter. Because I've interviewed a hunter before. He doesn't wear shoes. He's moving in the forest in the night. One hunter told me, he said, when I feel tired after hunting, I just lie down in the forest and I sleep. Hey! Today he's a pastor, but he was formerly a hunter. How do you think I knew him? He's a pastor. But I tell you, when you are walking in the grass in the night, you wonder, Lord, what am I going to step on? What am I going to step on? Am I going to step on something? So the light is the word of God. When we preach, light comes on. And suddenly people who would have perished in darkness, light comes into their lives. Since God said, let there be light, there are many places in Ghana that have not seen light. Because of bad government. Since God said, let there be light, still there's no light there. How do you think these people can develop? How can their life be better? But thank God, even if we cannot provide, so that's what we want to say to those who are asking, why are we not extending electricity? No, we are extending supernatural electricity and supernatural light to change the lives of people. Hallelujah. Amen. Number three, the word is a sword. The preaching of the gospel is the sword. The Bible calls it the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. When the sword comes, what do we use the sword for? It's again, I'm explaining to you that this parable of the sower, where the sower goes to sow the word, he's sowing something small, but something that can save your life. Number two, he's sowing a light, which can just change your life. Your life will be changed. How many would agree that your life has changed? Look at you. Your life has changed. Somebody, look at them. Somebody. Look at it this way. Look at all these directions. Look. All of your life is changed. Mother couldn't change you. Father couldn't change you. Your brother couldn't change you. Police couldn't change you. But something small has been able to change you. Hallelujah. Amen. So light comes. Then a sword comes. What do you use a sword for? To defend yourself. So when the word of God is preached and sown into people's lives, a sword comes into their hands. For the word of God is a sword from which they are now protected from the devil and from evil spirits that would have come to kill them. So all the enemies of your life, all the enemies of your soul, all the enemies that would quench you and take you to hell, now that you have a sword. How many have seen a film before when they were fighting and then somebody had a knife and then they fight, they hold the knife for a long time, then the knife is thrown away, then they all run together. Because everybody, once I get there, so my life is saved, I can kill the guy. Is it not true? That's why the word of God is a sword. Every time God is trying to put a sword in your hands, He's trying to put a weapon in your hand. And that's why the film, you see, there's so much struggle to the one who can get the gun. Sometimes the cowboys and Indians, they'll be looking, the gun is on the floor. And they'll be looking. If only I can get it in my hand, I can win the fight. And I will live and not die. That's why we preach. That's why we go around preaching, to try to put a sword in people's hands. We're trying to put the sword of the Spirit in people's hands. People that are lost, people that are without God, they are at the mercy of demons. But once you are able to pick the sword, so that they look with the corner of the eye. Is it not true? Since you got the sword of the Spirit, is the devil able to make you as depressed as you used to be? Since you got the sword of the Spirit, is the demon of lust, when it is coming from certain West African countries and passing through Accra, is it able to get you as it used to get you before? When certain spirits that are coming, war spirits that are coming from certain countries are coming, are they able to get you? Because when they look, they say you are fully armed. Fully armed. One spirit of jealousy is coming. Is it able to get you as it used to get you? Spirit of suicide. Spirit of stealing. To make you a thief. Look, there is no blessing in stealing. Either a poor during exams. There's no blessing in it. There is a curse for all thieves and all those who follow Apo. It's true. It's true. It's a curse. That's what has destroyed Nigeria. That's why many places, when somebody says, I'm a Nigerian, all flags go up. See? Nigeria? 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 Some Nigerians have to actually use somebody to rent a house. I said, a Nigerian come to rent my house? My next door neighbor, some Nigerians rented the house. It was police. I've not seen some. It was police and other things that moved them out of the house. One day I came home. I saw that all their chairs, everything was outside. They have removed them. They will not pay. One day the generator was going there. Every day generator. I said, why is these people are using generator behind my window when there is light? I went and I sent some people. I said, go and ask these people that the light is on. They shouldn't use a generator because nobody can sleep in this area. And they went, they said, they have not paid electricity bill for so many years. And so they have disconnected, and so they have their own private generator. But that thing has come to Ghana also. It's true. The same corruption. Because you see, JSS full of apo. SSS. When they are writing exams, you see them exchanging openly. Paper, you give your paper, it comes like that. The invigilator has fallen asleep. They bring some people to come. Yeah. Universities in Ghana are spoiled. Corruption, paying of whatever, bribes, and so on. And the private universities are even worse. When you see a product from the university today, you even wonder, what can this such a person? When you come from university in Ghana, you shouldn't expect a job immediately. You expect to now be retrained. Yeah, some of you can't speak English. You go to university, you can't speak English. It's a curse in the country and destroying the fiber of the country. Nothing is genuine. I heard recently that there is a job called serial caller. Do you know what is a serial caller? That is some people who call radio stations. So like if they are criticizing NDC, then there are people that are serial callers to defend NDC. Then there are serial callers to defend NPP. Serial caller for everything. So I used to think when you listen to a radio, you put on the radio, then somebody called. I thought it was natural that it happened that somebody tuned in and then he realized that, you know, what they were saying was, oh, then he decided to call. Not knowing that there are serial callers and some serial callers were quarreling there. They had not been paid. The serial callers had not been paid. So he realized there is nothing genuine. Voting for parties is all money. Radio station is money. Exams, money, university, money, everything. So you see, they come out. They cannot. I hear Wesley girls have introduced their own exam. When you do JSS and you come, they do their own exam there before they accept you. Because they don't accept the JSS. They don't trust the JSS result. And some of them will do, they get 10 ones. When they do that exam, they get 3%. Yeah. But what I'm saying is that it is a curse. All these are curses. It's coming to Ghana. Oil is also coming. So we don't know even everybody. Nothing straightforward. And all these, you see. So when the word of God is in you, the sword, and then evil spirit come to tell you, now join the thieves. You take your sword and say, you know something? I don't want to be cursed because I know the word of God. There is a curse. Bible says the curse will enter your house, eat up the timber and the stones and the roof. Everything will be removed from you. A curse, you and your children will be cursed. I tell you. That's why pastors, you know, ashes can steal. There's no fear. But you must know if it's not today, it is not today, tomorrow. That's why people can steal offering. That's why somebody can raise funds. Say, I'm raising funds for something. You use it for something. Oh, I'm not afraid of God. One day I went somewhere, I took an offering. I said that, you know, I'm going to sell a book or something. And then I said that I want them to give an offering, something. But I said that offering, I'm going to receive it myself. Then I asked them that for the 20-something years I've been in the church, have they ever heard me say that I'm going to receive an offering? This offering is for me. And then I said that the fact that I'm saying that this one is for me should even show you that for me to say it, then it means that all these other is not for me. Because if it is for, I cannot say I'm taking it for this and then I eat it. But we don't fear God. That's why we have people in church who say they are paying tithe, but they don't pay tithe. They say I'll be a partner, but they don't pay the partner. Because you don't fear, your sword is not in your hand. So demons have come, but you don't know. You think you are benefiting. As I keep working with people, you see that who you are comes out. It's just a matter of time. And you see that there's no substance in you. So, God wants to save you by putting a weapon in your hand. There are a lot of thieves, when they realize that you are armed, they wouldn't come there. One time, some time ago, some soldiers went to Tema, armed robbers. And they went to do armed robbery at a certain house, a small house. I don't know what type of house, but not knowing that the man there was a Marine, U.S. Marine. I mean, he slaughtered all of them fast. So if they had known, they wouldn't have gone to such a house. And a lot of places, if they realize that you are armed or the person is a certain way, they will stay back. And that is how the devil is. When you realize that this thing you are suggesting, that, hey, I should leave my wife. I should leave my husband. I should go and sleep with you. I should go and do this. I should go and... All these ideas that you realize, you just remove your gun. I say, please, step back. Step back. Out of my life. Out of my life now. Out of my life now. In the Bible, it says that a certain idea, God prophesied, he prophesied to Gog and Magog, said, a certain idea will enter your head. Certain thoughts will enter your head that you should go and invade Israel. Behold, those thoughts shall come into you. And when they come, it will draw. He said, I myself will put a hook in your jaw and draw you so that you come, so that I will slay you and bathe the whole world with your blood. You see, that certain thoughts that have come to your mind, they are evil spirits. Satan is trying to draw you into something. And that's why we preach the word, because when we preach the word, you put a sword in your hand. When the devil said, kill yourself, say, I should kill myself. And what will I explain myself to God when I see him? I should go and commit fornication. How will I explain myself? That is why you preach. It changes your life. See that you got a soul. That I don't want to be a thief. And lying. Many of us tell lies naturally. People say they are virgins and they are as far from being a virgin as I am from being an astronaut. People say, I've had one or two boyfriends. Then it means 100 or 200 boyfriends. How many want us to continue to put the sword into the hands of the people to save their lives? Wow. Number four. The word of God is a fire. Wow. Amen. So the seed that God sends us to sow, we are sowing fire. Amen. Fire. Fire. Wow. Wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this, I will make my words in thy mouth fire. And these people would, and it shall devour them. Jeremiah 5, verse 14. Amen. Fire. Almost all forms of war are fought with fire. In Nigeria, the police have written on their police cars, Operation Fire for Fire. Fire for fire. If you fire, we fire. Fire for fire. All forms of war and protection and salvation are through fire. So when God is sending his word, he's sending, he's arming you with fire. When America says they have nuclear weapon, they have a fire that can burn the whole world several times over. And when Russia realized that America is developing a weapon that can burn cities, they said, fire for fire. We are also going to make one. And they made their own fire. So they said, you burn us, we burn you. You burn us, we burn you. We have enough fire to burn all of you together. France also made fire. Guns, fire. Artillery, fire. That's why when they are going to shoot, they say, fire! Fire! Hold your fire! Have you heard those words? You hold your fire! Fire! Uh-huh. That's what they do. Fire! Send fire to the person. So when God is putting fire in your hand, he's putting protection in your hand. From hell, from demons that want to take you to hell. That's why we go around preaching, to put weapons and fire in the hands of people. So that you can meet the devil and you write on your house, Operation Fire for Fire. When you come here, I also have a fire. You bring a fire, I will also burn you. Fire will burn you, my fire will also burn you. That is what salvation is. This is what salvation is, bringing a light. Salvation is giving people a sword, giving them fire to save them from the devil and from the works of darkness. Hallelujah. So God, I tell you, there's it's so powerful, preaching. It looks like something insignificant, but that is it. There are a lot of demons that's waiting to get you. How many demons can fit into your chest? You see, we usually think of demons in a certain size. But have you ever thought about your computer? You can have a flash drive and you have stored so many papers and books. That's how demons are. They are like something that is like a flash. A lot of them can fit in. That's why the man said, we are legion. We are 6,000. We have been compressed into a flash drive. A lot of megabytes of demons in one person. So sometimes you can't even, sometimes when you say a lot of you, you can't even picture. It's like angels. You can't picture if they're angels, they must occupy from here to here. No, spirits are like computer chips. It's like it can occupy a small place. They say a lot of things are there, a lot of spirits. So you just one person, you see that so many spirits are following you. Eesh. Trying to take you, trying to get you, trying to deceive you, trying to capture you. Oh, trying to make you believe something that is not true. Trying to take you to hell until the day that you die. Because you couldn't see those demons, you die and you go to hell. But through the message of God, and through the preaching of the word of God, people are saved from hell. People are saved from death. How many of you want to go out into the world and put a weapon in people's hands? That is salvation. You are saving them. Mobutu. His name was Joseph Desire Mobutu. But he changed his name to Mobutu Sese Seko Bendu Wazabanga, which means the one who goes from everlasting to everlasting and goes around conquering from one conquest to another. And Mobutu, many times when he was fighting, you know, the British and the Americans and French and Belgians decided to help him to fight. Have you heard of Patrice Lumumba? Have you heard of, there's a road called Patrice Lumumba Road in Ghana. He is the Kwame Nkrumah of Congo. He fought for independence. He descended the stairs of the aeroplane, having accomplished independence from their Belgian authorities. On the 30th of June, they had it, 1960. And in August, June, that's the 30th of June, July, August, Mobutu took over, arrested this man, sent him away, and then they killed him. Now, the whole country rose up against Mobutu to fight him. And they took 2/3 of the country, and they were coming to take Mobutu. But the Americans and the Belgians, they said, we will help Mobutu. Mobutu visited George Bush 24 times. And President Bush said, Mobutu is our friend. We are proud to be associated with him. We really see him as our good friend. And they stayed many times together. So you see, what did he do to save Mobutu? Mobutu would have been killed long time ago. Mobutu died in his bed. He died at home in his bed. He would have died years ago, 1960. But some people gave him firepower. Americans, Belgians, French, they gave him fire for fire, and then they saved him. Then he became stable. So when we go around sharing the fire, the word of God is a fire we're giving to people, we are saving their lives. Just like how the Americans saved Mobutu, and he was there. Jesus is saving our lives with the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Number six, number five, the word, the seed is a mirror. Hey. Mirror. He says, if anyone is the hearer of the word and he looks, he's like a man beholding his face in a natural, in a glass, and he sees. Amen. Hey. How many know that a mirror can save your life? If you were to see, wow. Do you know that a lot of things doctors do is called observation? Huh? You may look in the mirror and say, my eyes are yellow. Hey! Saving your life. When we go on ward rounds, what do? We observe. The first thing, inspection. We call it inspection. Inspect. I see, you can't inspect yourself many times. And so there are some parts of you can't see. How many know that there are some places you can't see? Not that they are inside or they are outside, but you still can't see. Hey! Through the mirror, you look in your face, ah, my face is looking puffy. Yeah. It may mean you have a kidney disease. My eyes are looking yellow. Hey! It could mean that you have a liver disease. Or it could mean you have this or you could have that. Your hair is falling out. Alopecia. Hey! It could mean what? So many problems. You look in the mirror and see that stomach is getting bigger. Hey! This one? Oh Lord. It could mean you are getting hypertension. Huh? Not prosperous. No. Sure, we are talking about saving of lives. You stand in the mirror, you look at your breast, you see something like a dimple. It's called puckering. Hey, is it a beauty spot? A beauty spot? You look at yourself, you look pale. You see, mirror is about saving of lives. That's why sometimes when we preach, we show something and you're supposed to see yourself. Wow! If I didn't look at the mirror, I would not have saved my life. Is it not a powerful thing? Yeah. So when we come on a crusade, we bring a big mirror. Like this, for everybody to see yourself. One of my favorite questions that I ask when I go for crusade, how many have told a lie before? You two answer. How many have told a lie before? Okay, the church is full of liars. How many have stolen something before? Church is full of thieves. How many have fornicated before? Church is full of fornicators. How many have hated somebody before? You have hated someone. Bible says, he that hated his brother is a murderer. The church is full of murderers. Hey! Now the church is full of liars, thieves, fornicators, murderers. What can wash away such sins? I said, what can wash away such sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So you see, when I bring the word of God, I'm showing people the mirror. Look and see. You see you are a thief. You see you are. The Bible says, if you look upon a woman to lust after her, you have already committed fornication. How many brothers are serial fornicators? You can raise two hands, it doesn't matter. You can even raise two hands. Yeah. As you have confessed one today, you know that tomorrow there will be another confession. There will by all means be another confession. Hey! You've confessed for today, but you know that even just by waking up, even whilst you are waking up, you say, Lord, save my soul from my sins. Shabbaya. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? So we bring that mirror so that you can see the jaundice, so that you can see what we call the pallor, so that you can see the obesity. You see, a lot of people that are very fat, they wear black. Because when you wear black, you look smaller. You didn't know, eh? Yeah. When you wear black, you see that you have become small. Then they wear loose like this, so that you don't see. Then a lot of men, the trouser, they bring it from here to here.
You have to lift it so the trouser become like a skirt that is going downwards. Hey! But you see, when you stand before the mirror just as I am, you see that you cannot hide any of those sins. The folds, they are there. Hey! When you see the gray coming, and you realize that my days are numbered. Mercy. So preaching of the word, the sowing of the seed, is the sowing of a giant mirror. Is that how I look? How many have looked in the mirror? You look very slim. Have you looked in the mirror? You look very slim. Hey, I have a particular mirror. When I see, I say, no. I say, no, it cannot be. Sir, your face has become long. Your body has become pointed. Oh. Are there some mirror that make you fat also? Hey. Those who want to slim, when they see those mirrors, they say, no. So when I go around preaching the word of God, I'm just bringing a mirror. Look and see. Look. You're about to go to hell. You're about to die. You're about to perish. Turn away from your sin right now. Look at yourself. You don't stand a chance. You don't stand a chance at the judgment seat. Hallelujah. And finally, the word of God is food. Hey! How many have I given you? Oh, then it must be 7 by all means. The word of God is your food. Like newborn babes long for the disease, spiritual milk. I remember one of the first days that I went to the ward, medical ward. Now, I came across a lady. Wow. The doctor asked, the professor asked, what is wrong with this woman? We look at her. Hey! All her flesh was gone. She was just skin and bones. Fair color, I think she was from Sudan or Chad or Ethiopia. I think there was a time they migrated. And the lady was open. The mouth was open. She didn't even bother. We were students, about 15 of us. She was naked. What is wrong with her? Cancer? No. No. Tuberculosis? No. What's wrong with her? HIV? No. No HIV. What was wrong with this woman? Only one thing. No food. Yeah. Food. She was starving. She was about to die from no food. And can you believe she died? Because they tried to put, but it was late. They could not bring her back. So you see, food is medicine. When I come and preaching the word of God, I'm sharing yam. I'm sharing jollof. I'm sharing kontombre. I'm sharing vitamins, oranges. I'm sharing pineapples. I'm sharing goats and cows. I'm sharing tomatoes. Hey! I shouldn't go around sharing some goats and some yams and some. I'm sprinkling rice. And you have the audacity to ask me that. What am I doing for the people? You see, I need to preach this message to them, isn't it? When I finish preaching, then they will understand what I'm doing. There are thousands of people here who cannot have 3 square meals. What are you doing for them? What am I doing for them? I'm giving them a mirror. I'm giving them a sword. I'm giving them firepower. I'm giving them a light. I'm putting a seed in their hand. I've put a big mirror so that they can see. I'm giving them food. Hey, you should have rather the government, if they knew who I was, they will now add me to the budget. No, we have to encourage this guy to go around and give them food and share the word of God. Hallelujah. And finally, the word of God is medicine. Proverbs chapter 4 tells us the word of God is medicine. Psalm 107 verse 20 says, he sent his word
and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Amen. He sent his word and delivered them from their destructions. Hallelujah. Amen. When God sends his word, amen, he blesses them. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 22, it says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Wow. God is healing you of the sickness that takes you to hell. When you hear the word of God and you hear the salvation message, you are given medication that saves your very life. The bubonic plague, if they had only had those little tablets. Wow. That's why when we go on crusade, we share tablets with people. We try to save their life to help some of them. And that is the work of the gospel. Amen. Are you glad that we spend our time preaching the gospel and sharing the word of God? How many are going to spend your life sharing these wonderful things to the whole world, giving a light? Amen. Which one do you like best? Can I ask? Fire. Firepower. Like Mobutu. How many like the big mirror? I think the mirror was nice, oh? It's like a big mirror. Hey, is that me? It is you. Amen. A sword to defend yourself. Every time you watch a film, remember this story. In fact, I'm commissioning you to go and watch Cowboys and Indians. You see a film, you see them fighting. I'm sure Rambo crowd is some in it. When Rambo was fighting, he met a certain lady from Thailand. And she was wearing a necklace with a green stone. So Rambo held the stone like that. And he asked her, what is this? And the girl said, it brings me good luck. Good luck. So the girl asked Rambo, what brings you good luck? What brings you good luck? Then Rambo brought a big knife. This is what brings me good luck. Hey! A sword, the knife. Mercy. See, God has put a sword in your hand. I don't even know. So some of you, if they were to ask you, what brings you good luck? You will start looking at it. It's the sword of the spirit. You have to be like Rambo and remove the knife and say, this is what brings me good luck in my life. This Bible. Bible brings me good luck in my life. Give the Lord a shout and a clap offering and stand to your feet. Hallelujah. All right. Ask your neighbor, what brings you good luck, my sister? What brings you good luck? What bring you good luck? When they ask you what bring you good luck, take your Bible and say, this is what bring me good luck. This is what bring me good luck in my life. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to the Lord. Father, thank you for the blessing of your holy word. We are so blessed. We thank you. We praise you. We give you thanks. We give you glory. We give you honor. Oh, what a blessing it is, Lord, to serve you. What a blessing it is to follow you, to do your will. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, Shandalama Sambigoles, Bradilon Zembubriges, Rameli Jumbres, Mandelber, Begizula, Mandal, Mazandala. Legose, thank you for your word. It looks small, but Lord, it's a very powerful thing. We thank you for preaching to us, Lord, every day. We thank you for the Bible, Lord. We thank you for the things that we are able to receive and to hear. Oh Jesus, I'm a glutinous and obligrendes, melejumbres, ebregalas, paradombeste, pelidol, sombire, kester, delicio, menele, berevile. Thank you. We give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you glory. We give you honor. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lay your hands on your heart. Father, let this word, which does so many things, now enter our lives, enter our hearts. We thank you and we receive a fire in our hands, a sword in our hands. We receive it in the name of Jesus. We receive a light, Lord. We receive the mirror that is revealing and saving our lives, Lord. We receive it, Lord, the food, the medicine that is coming into our lives. Touch our heart that we may be receptive to your wonderful, powerful word in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. As every head is bowed, please, and every eye is closed. If you are here tonight, you are not born again. I want to pray with you to give your life to Jesus Christ. If you are here, you are not born again. When I say born again, I mean you don't know whether you will go to heaven or hell. If you die tonight, will you go to heaven? Will you go to hell? Pastor, I don't know. If you are here, you are not sure, and you want to be sure. You want to give your life to God. You want to say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray with me. I want to give my life to God. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want Jesus to burn away all sin from my life. I want to be a new person. If you are here like that, wherever you are, just lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to God. I want to be born again. I want my sins to be washed away today, tonight, in Jesus' name. If you are here like that, lift it up. God bless you. I see your hand. I see you. Lift it up high. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The word of God is coming. God is protecting you from the devil. He's saving your life tonight. Lift it up. God bless you. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. God bless you. If you've lifted your hand, I want you to do one more thing. Come to me from wherever you are. Just come. Step forward. Come to me. Stand here. Stand here. Come from the back, wherever you are. If you lifted your hand, just come. Wherever you are, just come. Stand here. I want to pray with you. Come. 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 God is sending a word to save you. He's giving you food to save your life. He's giving you medicine to save your life. He's showing you in a mirror that you are going to go to hell. Come now, my sister, my brother. God wants to save you. He's choosing you to save your life tonight. Come to the cross. Come and let me pray with you. God is calling you. Why will you resist God on such a night? Come on, my friend. Come to Jesus. Come to the cross. Come to the cross. Come to God. I want to pray with you right now. Come all the way to the front. God bless you. Lift your hands in front here. Just lift your hands up. Close your eyes. Say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight is my night. Please forgive me for all my sins. Oh God, today I come to you just as I am. I know that I am a sinner, and I come to the cross of Jesus Christ just as I am. Oh God, forgive me. Forgive me. Please wash away my sins in the blood of Jesus. From today, I receive Jesus as my Savior, as my Lord, as my Master. Jesus Christ is my Lord from today. Lift your hand. Say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my life today. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for me. From today, I will serve you. From today, I will follow you. I will obey you. Help me, Jesus. Please help me. Please help me. Help me to be a Christian from today. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewittmills.com daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.